We're on page 305, 306, in the middle of chapter 6 in the Hebrew. It's the next to the last line. In the English, it's the fourth line down, for the soul does not. End of the bracket there. We are asking the question, how do we exist? Chapter 6 is the culmination of Hashem's point of view, known as Yehudi Iloh, the supernal unity, which basically maintains that the only thing that does exist is Hashem.
Yeah.
And you can never really say that. We'll never understand Hashem's perspective. We can talk about it. We can say, oh, it has to be that way. And really, when we'll get done with all the 12 chapters of Shaar Yechid Vemunah, you know, what we'll conclude is, it's really much easier to understand how it is that we don't exist than we do exist.
Yeah.
When we get to it. But then between you and me, looking at myself, you know, yeah. So I see I exist and I don't see Hashem.
Right.
And that Hashem ascribes to Shem Elohim, which he started this already back in chapter 4. Hmm. And says that the laws of nature are the product of Shem Elohim, the function of which is that all manifestations of godliness as we know them, which we call the forces of nature, are indeed nothing more than Hashem. So the forces of nature and everything that's in within nature is nothing but godliness. And to say, to go so far as to say, Ein Oid Melvadei, that even though we see a multiplicity, there's nothing else besides Hashem. Now, in the second line on page 306, Lefi Shehaneshama Ein Mahava Guf Ma'ein Liyesh. This is at the, we should have actually stopped at the dot coming up. It says, this is a sentence that starts before the parenthesis, that the body is secondary, it's an ancillary to the soul, because the soul doesn't bring the body into existence. It only enlivens it. The body has a separate life force. How do I prove that? When somebody dies, if it would be that their soul was bringing their body into existence, then the body would disappear.
Disappear, right.
So, but since the body sticks around after the soul has left,
right.
So that tells me that the body has a separate life source,
yeah.
And that body is, he called it an oid, it's my addition, it's my ancillary part, and that I'm even davening to Hashem with that part, but it's two separate things. And we want to use it, based on this parallel, or paradigm, that just like the soul fills the body, so too Hashem fills the world. But there are differences. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMahava Es HaKel Ma'ayin Liyesh, Hashem, that containment, which we call the world, is nothing more than Hashem. Hashem is bringing everything into existence from nothing to something. HaKol Batal Mimitzias Etzlo Kama'or Hashemesh B'Shemesh. So the entire existence of creation, the whole entire realm of spectrum of creation, from the very highest of manifestations down here to this low world, is nullified in its existence to Hashem. How? Like it doesn't exist. Meaning, it's like the sun ray in the sun. The sun ray in the sun, he said before in chapter 3, is an example for something that doesn't have its own entity. Because what is the sun ray in the sun? It's nothing more than sun.
Right.
Lachin hutzricha kasav lahazir v'yedaita hayem v'ashivayso lovavecha. The question he asks in the first chapter, the explanation of the verse, you should know this day, you should put to your heart that in the heavens above and the earth below, there's nothing else besides Hashem, Ein Oid. And he asks the question, what do I have to put to myself? What do I have to? I have to say that there's something else, some God hiding someplace. What does it mean? I have to put it to my heart. Put it to my heart means I really have to, like, you know, feel it, think it. What's the idea? You know, das is basically threefold, the concept of das. The minimum level of das is a feeling of iskashus, of attachment. As in the expression, Va'adam yada es chava, Adam knew Eve.
Okay.
And I've been saying that, where do we have a really good example of das, of needing to feel a connection to something, is with your cell phone. What happens when you walk out of the house and you left the cell phone inside? It's like your whole being is missing something.
This is chapter 3 of you.
Chapter 3, yes. And where he defines the word das.
Right.
Yes. And so you should feel a connection to Hashem as much as you feel a connection to your cell phone. Then that's the lowest level of das. The next level of das, which is our perception, is the expression is hitzrakshus, an excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Not just an intellectual excitement, but a feeling in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the third level of das is called hakara, recognition. To recognize more than just a feeling, but recognize that this is the way it has to be, and it can absolutely be no other way besides.
Hakara satay.
That is the definition of das. Mm-hmm. So it says, now I need that to know that there's one God. You ask any 10-year-old how many gods there are, any 5-year-old how many Hashems are there, they'll tell you one. Okay, so what do I need to have the verse come and warn me so much to say, Vashe Vaisa Lalavacha? Says he says. It's a setup question. Basically, Shalai Tala al Daita Shah Shamayim Vacholtavama Arsa Malayev Hamdavar Nifrad Bifnei Atzmai is that you should never enter your mind that the heaven and all the heavenly hosts and the earth and all the terrestrial creatures are, they look like something separate, but in actuality they are not separate from Hashem at all. That takes a bit of doing. Because I look at things and I see multiplicity. I see separation. Therefore, it says no. V'yadaita hayayim. You have to know that even though what you're seeing is what you're seeing, it's not real. Because really there's nothing else besides Hashem. Ein oid. V'akadosh baruch hu memali kol ha'olam ki hislavshus on Hashem v'guf. And Hashem encloses himself, fills the creation, similarly to the way that a neshama fills a body. There is no part of your body that has no soul in it. Your soul permeates every single corpuscle and cell that's in your body. And that's causing that soul, that part of your body to function. And Hashem fills every aspect of creation, every microorganism, every quark, every string, whatever you'd like to call it, is filled with elikus, causing it to function properly, enlivening it, bringing it into existence. Umashpia kayach atzamech ba'aretz v'kayach atanua v'galgalim. And Hashem is what's causing dirt, things that get planted in the dirt to grow, and the constellations to move in a planned orbit.
Tzamech,
growth. Koyach HaTzameach, the power of growth. Okay? So when you think about it, I think we've talked about dirt before. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, go on. Say it.
It's an incredible thing.
For the sake of the listeners.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. That what's dirt? Dirt is the only thing that things grow in, and that is because dirt is an expression of Malchus. Hashem's Malucha, Hashem's royalty, is enclosed in dirt. And we take dirt for granted. Okay, we wash it off our hands. You should have respect for that dirt. That is an expression of Hashem's melucha. Hashem's aspect of royalty is in that dirt because that's the power of growth.
Yes,
it's contained into it. And then you look, you say, the constellations are all inanimate objects.
Mm.
But Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah describes that the constellations have a certain amount of das. They know how to do two things. They know how not to bump into each other. And they know how to pay homage to Hashem.
How to worship Hashem, that's right.
Which is why they're in this constant orbit, because our orbit is always following, like in a bowing down posture towards Hashem.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. So, which makes me wonder, you know, there's all these things about, you know, what's going to happen if an asteroid comes hurling itself towards Earth and how are we going to stop it? You know, they make bad movies about such things. You know, so most likely I don't envision it happening anytime soon.
They had worried about one that was happening in 2030 or 32.
Okay.
I saw that.
NASA just released information, I think it was yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
It said, yeah, don't worry about it. It's only going to come, you know, 300 million miles from here or something ridiculous.
Right. Near miss.
That's a near miss, right.
Right.
Okay. You know what they say about that, don't you?
Go ahead. Right. וכל העולם המשפט על הנשם ובגוף המשפיע והמסמך וכל זה גלגלים ומניעים ומנהיגים כרצייני. And he holds them back and he conducts them according to his will. כמושה הנשם המניע אס הגוף ומנהיגים כרצייני. Just like your soul holds back your body from doing things and makes it go where you want it to go. אך באמס אין המשל דיימו לנמשל כלל. But the paradigm of the soul and the body compared to Hashem and creation have no point of comparison whatsoever. Because the soul and the body, even though they unite together to form a single cohesive unit, meaning a person with their persona, are in actuality two separate things and are rooted in two separate things. Where does a body come from? He's going to say, a body comes from your mommy and your daddy. Where does the neshama come from? The neshama comes from Hashem. So it's a different story. It's three different components to making up this entity. Ki ein hishav shor shaguf v'atzmoiso minishmasei elamatipas avi v'imai. Because the whole business of the enlivenment of the body and its bones and etc. doesn't come from the soul. It comes from the seed produced by the mother and father. And then, when it's in the womb, and after it's born, so the soul, the body is not growing because of the soul. It's only because of what the mother eats is causing the child to grow.
Right.
Which is why nowadays we have Orientals and Mexicans that we always associate as being short people are suddenly basketball players. Because we now know that if we give these people, when they're first born, lots of good nutrition, so they're not so short. The DNA is not telling them that they have to be short. It's the nutrition that they're getting that's telling them they have to be short.
Are you both looking at me?
Why are you paranoid?
Because you're both well over 6 feet, and here I am, 5'2".
Okay, so my son, who just came back from the Southeast Asia.
Oh, he's here?
He came back, yeah. I said, is there a drinking age in like Vietnam and Cambodia? And he says, yeah, when you can reach the table. And he said, that's probably about when they're about 18.
That's not nice. Even if it is fact.
What is he doing now?
What are you recording? And then we see that the body grows. And my body's doing a very good job of it right now from the eating and drinking that we're doing. Which is not the case with the heaven and the earth and all that's inside of it. It's not growing because Hashem is because of something that's going on in as far as it like eating or you know multiplying or making itself, or because that doesn't happen. We, on the contrary, believe that there is not going to be anything added to the creation. We have these various principles that energy and therefore matter is neither destroyed but is conserved.
Neither gain nor loss.
Correct. There's no gain or loss of matter and energy. It's all in a state of equilibrium. It's just constantly changing, but there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. Which means that suddenly you're not going to look up and say, oh, there's a star that was never there before. If there's a star that you never saw before, it's because you never saw it before, but it was always there. Shekol atmoisam atmusam umahusam nishave ma'ayin li'esh ma'ayin ve'efes ha'mochlot, that the heavens and the earth and everything in it comes into existence with its whole essence and being from an absolute, total and completely nothing. In other words, your body, which is a something, which wasn't here before you were born. What is it? It's not a yesh ma'ayin. It's pretty close. Because, what is it? It's a development of 23 paternal chromosomes and 23 maternal chromosomes. And those 46 chromosomes are really, 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 really tiny. But it's enough of a something that you could say, well, this one cell is going to break into two, and this two is going to break into four, and the four into eight, and the eight into etc.
It's infinitesimally huge. So,
yeah, until you finally get this billion cell creature.
Right.
But we have, you know, listen, Life magazine did it in the 70s, you know, just
right.
Follow the development of this thing as it grows. And you say, this comes from this, and this comes from that. Okay, so that the, that's not a Bria Yeshma Ayin.
No.
It's really, really close. Another example given for Bria Yeshma Ayin is when you stick a seed in the ground, and the seed rots, leaving just the germ, and then the power of growth has an effect on the germ, and it causes the plant to grow. How big is a piece of wheat germ compared to the stalk with all those hundreds of wheat berries on them? You can say, but it's still, there's a germ there at least. With the bringing into existence of the creation, there's absolute nothing. There's no way of tracking back. You can't get there from here. Whereas with a wheat germ to a pound of wheat berries, you can see a direct connection.
Right.
She calls him Rock. B'dvar havaya v'ruach pivyas baruch. How is it they come into existence? It's through the whole creation process, which is expressed through the paradigm we're using, Hashem's speech. Okay, which that's going to tell us, why is it that we keep on using the example of speech? Is because speech doesn't take up a lot of energy by us. You can talk pretty much forever and not get tired. And so, meaning to indicate that there's not a whole lot of our own energy expended in speech. The creation was an expression of 10 utterances of Hashem. So how much energy was expended in that? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, like nothing.
It's different, though.
Of course it's different.
Hashem, his speech is still part of him. Once we speak,
right.
The energy is
expended. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he went into this in chapter 4.
Right.
Okay, there's nothing outside of Hashem.
There's an irony here. Speech is not tangible, except with Hashem.
It's measurable.
Measurable, but not tangible.
Tangible is sort of like an ambiguous word in this contents.
I understand, but I mean...
You could, like I said, if you can measure it, it's tangible.
Hashem's speech measure is... you can quantify it.
If I stood right next to you and screamed in your ear,
yeah.
It would hurt.
Hashem's speech
right.
is tangible.
Of course it is.
Ours is not.
Ours is not, right, but his is, yeah. It's
okay, it's two different things. I see what you're trying to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yes. That's our speech is basically nothing, but the yeah. point is that why we say Hashem's speech is also basically nothing.
Right, but that's the point. Yeshmaayin, even the speech that he gives, it's still Yeshmaayin.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that's what he wants to say.
You know?
The gam adayin, yeah. The gam adayin needs of dvar havaya le'olam v'shefa behem tami b'chol rego ma'ava isim tami ma'ayin liyesh b'hitava k'hitava z'or me'ha'shemesh b'teik guv kader ha'shemesh atzmai derech mashal. And the creation is an ongoing process. It is continuous and has to be continuous because there, as you said, there's nothing outside of Hashem. And in order to keep the nothing made into something, there has to be a constant input of energy. And the existence of the nothing is total. The existence of the something is totally dependent on this constant energy put into it. And as far as Hashem is concerned, even with all the energy there, this thing that we call a thing is exists like a sunray in the sun before it's emitted. Which we said we could measure it, we could look at it, we could see it. Okay, but it's not something which is separate from the sun. If that be the case, then the whole entire creation is nullified in its existence totally. As far as this life force which is keeping it into existence, which is the speech of Hashem, And the world, as we know it now, is really totally and completely and absolutely united in a perfect unity with the essence of Hashem. And that's what it means, Hashem Echad. When we say that verse and we cover our eyes, what are we supposed to be thinking, or in the case that we wanted to mention before, or feeling or recognizing, is that there is nothing else besides of Hashem, that even the physical world is incorporated totally and completely and is not something separate from Hashem.
In Gvul. That's taking down all the Gvulim.
Oh, absolutely. Will you ever get there from here? You will never get there from here.
You can't take that light.
Correct. But if you're sitting in a meditative state and you have a feeling that it has to be that way and it can't be any other way, like I said, when we get through learning the 7 through 12, and we'll understand how is it that we do exist as separate entities, you're going to say, you know what? I think I understand it better how I don't exist. Because to explain it, it's so much easier for Hashem to have nothing exist except Hashem. Okay? The only problem with that is that I can go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense,
it's
but...
a little more easier hard.
But I can't... Once you say I, it's...
The minute that you said I...
You're done.
There. You're there.
You just negated it.
Yeah, you're there.
Okay? So you can understand it, but you're never going to get it.
Yeah, but the whole premise is flawed because there's... You said that there's... It's more effort for Hashem to have nothing rather than something, but there's no effort at all.
No, I didn't say that. It's going to be easier for you to understand.
Easier for us to understand.
How there's nothing besides Hashem, the first six chapters, than to understand how we do exist, which is the second six chapters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kibitel or Shemesh B'Shemesh, Rak Shehein Hein Gvurasav. This is the strength of Hashem. B'mida ha-gevura v'ha-tzimtzum la-hastir o-la-halim ha-chayis ha-shefeya b'hem. That Hashem's gevura, that is what Shem Elohim is, which is how he started this whole chapter 6 to begin with, is the limiting expression of Hashem,
right,
which contracts. The purpose of the limitation is not for limitation purposes itself, but
revealing.
The limitation is for the purpose of revelation.
For revelation, that's right.
To hide and conceal the Chayus, which is enlivening everything. So, but because the concealment of the Ur, because Hashem is containing this godliness, it allows for the existence of something to appear to be a something for itself.
Right.
Even though in MS, truly, it's not. It's totally and completely incorporated in Hashem. But since Hashem is a kol yachol, Hashem can do anything. So Hashem could limit his infiniteness to make it look as though something exists, when actuality it doesn't. Don't think about this when you're driving, because there comes a conclusion that the guy in front of you doesn't exist.
You have to have a lot of emunah for that.
Yeah. The cult of Am Ki Ilo Heim Dovin Infinity Ach Ein Had Simpson Vahester Ella Latach Tainin. The concealment is only for us, only affects us, and is only in reference to us.
Yeah.
As far as Hashem is concerned, nothing exists. Because, I think we talked about this before, we have a principle, there's a law in Shulchan Aruch about saying a bracha, and you have to have your head covered. And you cannot put your hand on top of your head and say, I have my head covered. It may look to me as though it's covered. I may not be able to see the top of your head because your hand is on top of it, but you cannot say a bracha because ein etzem master al atzmai. A thing can't cover itself.
Except.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
So now, what is it that's covering
over
Hashem?
All these guys that want to make a bracha, and they go...
They have to, if it's their sleeve is doing the thing, if they have a sleeve on, so a sleeve is something. If they don't have a sleeve, they cannot take your arm and cover it over your head. Okay. Even though you want to say, well, it's in between my yarmulke and my arm, but my, forget about it. No. So One second. So for Hashem, oh, so Hashem is what's covering over Hashem?
Hashem.
Hashem is covering over Hashem. Right. What are the laws of nature? The laws of nature allow for things to function in a three-dimensional world. And what are the laws of Hashem? What are the laws of nature? The laws of nature is Hashem. It's a product of Elohim. What's Elohim? Elohim is Hashem. Because we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it's all one thing. It's even though Elohim is an expression of Hashem's Gevura, but in this expression of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there the Gevura is for the purpose of allowing Chesed to be revealed. Mm-hmm. So the Gevura itself is an expression of Chesed. Sure. The restraint allows the kindness. Would there be no restraint, there would be no kindness.
Right.
And so we can say that nothing exists. It's all considered like that because what is it? It's made out of Hashem. When we go like this, it's one part of Hashem hitting another part of Hashem. And Hashem's attribute of severity and restriction doesn't restrict Hashem. And he goes so far as to say, Chas V'Shalom. And the Alter Rebbe is very cheap when it comes to putting in the words Chas V'Shalom. He only puts it in where it's absolutely necessary. As to say that Hashem's ability to be tzamtzem, to contract himself, actually covers over Hashem so that Hashem could say, I know I put a world here somewhere, but can't find it. Where'd I hide that world? I know I put it in a good place. No. The world is not hidden from Hashem because what's doing the hiding to allow the world to come out is Hashem. And a thing can't cover over itself. But it's not something separate because Hashem, who Elohim? Hashem is Elohim. What's Elohim? Elohim is not something else. This is the point where he says, with Shar Yichud, the portal to unity and belief. What's the unity that Jews believe? That we believe? Do we believe that there's one God? No. We talked about that way back when. We know that there's one God because God is defined as a starting point. There can only be one starting point. What do we believe? We believe that the forces of nature, which present themselves as a tremendous amount of stuff with all kinds of predictable laws, is totally and completely and absolutely united with Hashem to the point that there is no contradiction between the limitation of the forces of nature and the infiniteness of Hashem.
Right.
Okay. Should we start chapter 7? Okay. That's the end of Yehuda Ilah. At this point,
I'm so hot.
At this point, take your vessel off.
What's that?
Take your vessel off. At this point, now we have a paradigm shift. Okay, now we're talking about the first six chapters have been an explanation of the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. From this point on, we're going to be explaining Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed, as he said at the prior to the start of chapter 1. So he says, "V'zeh Yuvin Mashikas V'Zohar Kadosh." Now we'll understand that which is written in the Zohar. The pasuk Shema Yisrael Hu Yehudi Ilo Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed Hu Yehudi Tata. That the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is the higher unity. The belief that only thing that exists is Hashem,
right?
And Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusai, which is not a pasuk in Chumash, mm-hmm. It was said by Yaakov Avinu before his passing, and we only know about it because of some angel telling Moshe about it. Mm-hmm. Is that's an expression of the way that we do exist? Hu Yehudi Tata. And he says, how so? Is expressed even in the words themselves. What does the word echad mean? Echad means one. Mm-hmm. But the word va'ed, the last word, va'ed, also corresponds to echad. How so? Because if you switch around the letters of the word echad, and you do the gematria stuff, whatever, all the interchanging, mm-hmm. So vo'ed and echad are the same thing. Forever, forever. You say something exists forever, that is the exact opposite of the word echad. Echad means that the only thing that exists is Hashem. Vo'ed means is that something exists forever, not Hashem. But the word vo'ed and echad are the same. How so? The dalet and the dalet are the same. The ayin and the ches are both gutturals. Mm-hmm. And any letter that's gichik is, those letters all switch one with the other. A kuf, a gimel, a chet, an ayin. Okay, a kuf, all those are pronounced using your epiglottis back there. Mm-hmm. So they switch. The vav and the aleph switch because of a very obscure grammatical rule.
Okay.
It's called the rule of Avi. What's the rule of Avi? Is Aleph, He, Vav, and Yud. If a word ends in an Aleph, He, Vav, or Yud, if the next word is a word that is a double meaning, it's a base or a vase, a pay or a fe, it's like when you put the dot in it becomes hard, you take this dot out, it's soft.
Okay.
It's dagish or rafui. So with if the previous word ends in an aleph, hey, vav, or yud, the next word will be rafui, will be soft.
Okay.
And that's a trick that Balkaris should know, because they would have to pronounce the words correctly. It doesn't change the meaning.
Right.
Okay, but it's one's a correct pronunciation, the other one's not a correct pronunciation.
Right, okay.
And so how do you know that this is if it's got an aleph, so an aleph and a vav and a yud and a hey all switch one for the other. Mm-hmm. So we can do it. The word echad, so we can switch with the word va'ed. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? You can't ask why in Hebrew. Is there a grammatical principle? Okay?
Fair enough.
In English, you could say, why do we have this rule of grammar?
Yeah.
And you could explain it. Because what happened is a bunch of people 1,000 years ago got together and they're going to say that we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to talk, and therefore we're going to make up this rule. But in Hebrew, you can't ask, why is there this rule? Because the answer is, well, how did we get the rule to begin with? Is we looked what was in the Torah and saw, hey, you know what?
These things follow rules.
If there's a word that ends with a aleph, hey, vav, or yud, the next word is soft. That must be the rule. It's based on our observations, right, rather than coming to some logical conclusion that this is the way it has to be, and then it's coming and working it backwards. So Hebrew works backwards in all the other languages. Mm. Okay, so then what does he want
to
say
over
here? It
applies to biblical Hebrew, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Ben Yehuda or Alkava, right, you know, so no. Okay? But a lot of their stuff is also, by the way, based on. But they don't have this pronunciation stuff. When you're talking in modern Hebrew, you don't have, like, the softs and the hards the same way like you do over in biblical Hebrew. A word is a hard, it's hard all the time. Okay? The Mashpia in Montreal was a gentleman by the name of Peretz Mutchkin. And when he was living in Russia, he was in a town where there was a Misnagashirov who considered himself to be worth his own importance. And this Peretz Mutchkin really had no patience for the guy. Very little use for the guy. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, he was very physically strong.
Who was?
Peretz Mutchkin. He was physically strong. And because he had to put up with, like, the Russians. Mm-hmm. And he had a very Russian biting humor.
Uh-huh.
Real sarcastic humor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, which his idea of a good time was to make somebody else feel like dirt. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
Made him a good mashpia.
Yeah, right. So, I never had him as a mashpia, so I don't know. The Friedrich Rebbe put him there. The,
because he's in the street.
Yeah, he put him in the street. He's walking in the street, and he says, Rabbi says to him, oh, good morning, Rabbi Ferretz. His name's Peretz. And he says, what's up with Ferretz? He tells him, you know, according to the rules of Evi, if a word ends in an aleph, a vav, a hey, or a yud, so the next, the beginning of the next word has to be rough, it has to be soft. So if it's, you're talking, if I'm going to call you Rebbe, so then the next word has to be soft, it should be Ferretz. And he said, oh, I get it. So good morning to you, Rabbi Futz. So anyway. Anyway, and that's on tape. Anyway. Kihine.
Oops.
Kihine Sibas Vatamat Simpson Vahester Hazesha Haster Vahelam.
Editing this week is brought to you by.
Yes, indeed. The letter pay. Kihine Sibas Vatamat Simpson Vahester Hazesha Haster Vahalam Akodir Baruchu. Asachaya Shal Ha'ilam Kideshiya Ha'ilam Nira Dabi Bifne Atzmai. The reason why there is a tzimtzum is in order that things should appear to be separate. Because in the, what's the key word in Baruch Shem Kivayd Malchus Le'olam Vo'ed? What's the most important word? Blessed is the name of his kingdom forever and ever. What's the major focus of that statement? Is the word kingdom. What's a kingdom? Define for me a kingdom, please.
Place where a marshal rules.
You have a king, and you have a dome. Right. That's correct. That's what a kingdom is. I know we don't like to use the word to define itself. Because a kingdom is made of two parts. It's made of the king, and it's made of the people. Which is the most important part of the kingdom? The king or the people?
People.
Why?
Because they give the permission for the king to be a king.
Correct. Ein melech b'loy am. You can't have a king unless you got people making him king. Okay? I'll Gödel the Turtle and Other Stories by Dr. Seuss.
Or you're going back to Rosh Hashanah. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is where we
make Hashem king.
Right.
You're so theological. I'm being flippant over here with Gödel the Turtle anyway. And because a king can't suddenly declare himself, I am the king. And if nobody pays attention to him, so he's not the king of anything. Okay, so that Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Voed is a statement from the Torah, and the Torah is emes, and it's 100% true. So even though it is that the first verse, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, says that the only thing that exists is Hashem, of equal stature and importance is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed. There's a kingdom, and the kingdom has to be separate from the king. You're not king over your own family. You're not king over your close buddies.
Yeah, definitely.
What does the queen call the king?
George.
Honey. Yeah, whatever. And what do the princes call the king?
Dad.
Right. Okay, so it has to be only on things, entities, which are separate from the king, that the king can be a king. So now we have this expression that we say that Hashem is king. How is it Hashem has made himself king? Yeah, we've got six chapters. It's known to everybody. The whole reason why we have a creation of this world, the whole entire reason that there is the tzimtzum, the contraction and the containment of the creation process, is in order that there should be a world which realizes its own identity, because there's no king without a people. Pirush am aloshin aymamais. The word aymamais, the word am, people, is related to the word kol, concealed, or dimmed. Okay, you have the expression in somewhere in Tanakh, gechali aymamais, dimmed coals, meaning not revealed. What's an am? An am is not revealed, whatever, where it's coming from. It's a separate entity. Because the nation is very far in many ways from the king. Even if this king would have thousands of children, what would the last one born call his father? Dad. Mm-hmm. He would never refer to him as king.
Do you hear me?
The king afilo al sarim levadim, and so to all the princes, the ministers, rak barev am dafka hadras melech. Only specifically when there is a multitude of a nation do we have the glory of a king.
Right.
Okay? Like, I personally don't understand how anybody could be like the king of, like, Monaco. Okay, hi, I'm the king of Southfield. Yeah, okay. Brinois.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm the king of, like, Pleasant Ridge.
Have a good time with that.
Yeah, so.
If they pay, hey.
Right,
okay. I'll apply for the job.
Good.
As long as it's not Taylor.
Right, for sure. Hazel Park.
Inkster.
Yeah. Rasham Sarim Levadim Rak Barevam Hadras Melech Dafke. Rasham Rasham Meir Almidas Malchusa Yizborach. The word Baruch Shame. Kavod Malchusa. Shame and Kavod and Malchus are all expressions of outside of Hashem.
Right.
What's a name? A name is not you. A name is how I can relate to you.
Yeah, someone else did that.
Rather than saying, that's the joke from first grade, what's yours that everybody else uses besides you?
Yeah.
Is your name. Okay? It's because name is how I'm able to relate to you that you should be able to relate back to me. Instead of just saying, if you walk into a crowded room and you go, hey, you, okay, it's not going to help a whole lot in identifying which person you want to communicate with.
Right.
When you have this name, so the name indicates it's a separate thing, and right, it's only there as a handle. And then kavod. Kavod means glory, which is one of those ambiguous English words. But glory means, how is it expressed? The word kavod means, how is it expressed? And then Malchusa, we just talked about before. And the shame ha'meira al-midas Malchusa yuzbaruch shem Adnois. The name of Hashem, which refers to Malchus, is Adnai. Each one of the seven names corresponds to this one of the seven expressions, seven emotions, seven character traits. And he talked about them before, two of them before. Yudke Vavke is to kindness, and Yelokim is to Gevura. So here, Adnai is Melech, obviously. How do you translate the word Adnai?
Sir.
Lord.
Lord.
Sir, Lord, yeah. What's Lord? Lord implies royalty, Malucha.
Right.
You don't have lords if you don't have a kingdom. Shem Adnas ki hu Adain kol ha'aretz. Because he is king over the whole entire world. Because the name Adnai is the algorithm by which the godliness is being processed so that the world can come into existence. Its source is hidden from it. And now it's not nullified in its existence. It exists and recognizes its own existence and can exist to such an extent that it says, the Aniva Afsiyoid, I exist and there's no God. That's the Shalom. The Anal But Akshaviyesh Government of the Universe. So the Anal Butal Matsiyas Mamish. Ki Histalkas Midas Zu. Because when this attribute is withdrawn, V'shem zeh chasver shalom hu ha'ilam choyzelum kara b'dvar avaya v'ruk biv u'batol sham v'metzias mamash v'lo hayasham ilam alav klal. Were it to be that Hashem were to suddenly stop talking and remove the creation process, what would happen to the creation? It would cease to exist.
Right.
And it would cease to exist in such a way it was like it never ever existed till now.
Right.
Not like there was a period of time, oh, by the way, for a time of almost 6,000 years. There's a world there. There was a world once we say was a world, there's no trace of it whatsoever. Like, it never existed. Here's Marco, because the word world, how do you know you're in a world? You have to have time and place. You have Makaim, Ubuchin is Mandafke. Ubuchin is Makaim, who, Mizrach Meir of Safan Vidar, Omail, Omata, Ubuchin is Man, Over, Haiva, Vyasib. Place is divided into six directions.
Right.
North, east, south, west, up, and down. Time is divided into three. Past, present, and future. And future.
Right.
And this is where we're going to stop at the dot on page 310.